when something reaches up and grips me in my soul. It's then when I apply it to my own life really carefully, and then out of that, I say, okay, Lord, is this something that you want me to share with others?
Right.
Literally, every single one of those Bible studies were birthed out of my own quiet time, and that I could tell that the Lord might want to share with others as he began to incorporate it into my own life.
Hi, I'm Ed Stetzer. Thanks for joining us on another edition of The Exchange. Exchange is about truths and thoughts and theology and conversation. And as we get started on The Exchange today, we have a special guest, Priscilla Shire. She's the co-founder of Going Beyond Ministries, author of 10 Bible studies, different topics and biblical characters. Her latest study is The Armor of God. She's actually a New York Times best-selling author and just recently added actress to her resume, starring in a film about prayer called The War Room. Before we jump into the interview with Priscilla, we're actually going to learn from Jen Wilkin about the gospel and women's ministry, part of a broadcast we did for the Gospel Project.
Women's ministry is vital to the mission of the church. When you think about the Great Commission, it tells us that we are to go and make disciples. And it doesn't stop with that. It goes on to say that we are to teach those disciples to obey everything that has been commanded by Jesus. And so that begs the question, who is it that is to do this teaching? And it doesn't take long to figure out that the teaching burden of raising up disciples falls to men and to women. And so if you look, you know, the most obvious place that people think of is Titus 2, where it talks about older women teaching the younger women. And this can look like small environments or mid-sized environments or even in big environments. But the idea is that older women have something to impart to younger women that is something they uniquely bring to the discipleship process. And so because of this, churches should be looking for who are these older women and how can we equip them and put them in the kinds of environments where this type of discipleship is going to happen. Everything that happens from the pulpit is meaningful. Everything that is taught by men to women is meaningful and good for the building up of the body. But there is something that women bring to the teaching of other women that is unique. Only a woman is probably going to give an illustration to other women that deals with a body image in a way that's very direct. Only a woman is going to be able to talk in depth with other women about how their bodies repeat a liturgy every 28 days of the shedding of blood for the renewing of life. I haven't heard a pastor preach that yet. It might still be coming, but we need to be able to talk about these things in environments where we can feel no awkwardness and where we can feel the freedom to explore. What does it look like as the female part of the Imago Dei to live out the gospel every day in the areas that the Lord has placed us in? And so that means that the church, as it is looking around for who are the leaders that we're going to raise up and who are the teachers that we're going to put in place, needs to be looking at both men and women and looking for ways to equip them for the work that they need to do. And so it's also important for the church to remember that we need more than just mixed gender environments. And that's why we talk about having women's ministry at all. There is something unique that happens when women gather just with other women.
I've been in my church for years. At the beginning, I had a great experience.
Every week I felt challenged by my pastor. I felt encouraged by small group.
I felt motivated by the message. No complaints. But after a while, things changed.
I felt like I was coasting. Church felt just so routine. I wasn't getting much out of church anymore.
Was it someone else's fault? My pastor? My small group?
Was it me? I was stuck in a rut. God showed me my attitude was all wrong.
And slowly started to change me. I had quit serving. Church had become all about me and my needs, rather than God and His glory.
I began to sit back and let everyone else serve.
But by His grace...
By His grace...
By His grace, the Lord changed my attitude from...
I want to I will.
I will.
I will.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of The Exchange. My name is Micah Fries. We're so glad to have you here and extremely glad to have Priscilla Shire with us today. Man, what a blessing for you to be able to spend some time with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
It's good. And we're here at sort of a strange environment. It's the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, National Religious Broadcasters Annual Meeting. And so you're here enjoying the surroundings,
yes,
which is strange.
Seeing lots of old friends and making new friends. It's kind of cool.
It is good. Well, thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Of course.
Priscilla, most of our viewers probably are very aware of who you are. In fact, my assistant, before I left, she said, make sure you tell Priscilla how much I love her Bible study. I said, I will try and communicate. You're one in a million study, she said. We've been studying that. So they're aware of who you are. But just talk to us a little bit about how you've become who you are today, how you were formed. You grew up in a family that obviously loves Jesus. They're kind of Christian royalty in the U.S. That's
really?
You know, when I think about your dad and the influence he's had on the kingdom. So but talk to us just a little bit about that and how you were shaped to be who you are today.
Well, I will tell you that, you know, the older you get, the more you realize what a blessing it really is when you have a godly legacy. And
sure.
Parents who actually were not just who they claimed to be in public, but they really were, they believed what they were preaching and teaching and leading others to believe. So I did grow up in a preacher's family, and my dad wasn't just kind of a regular preacher in the sense that his work was very local, still is. My dad, Tony Evans, still pastors the exact same church he started when I was 1 year old.
Right.
So the church is 39 years old. Mm-hmm. So he very much has a local pastoring heart. He shepherds his flock. But there was just a lot of national and international attention on my father's teaching gift for a large portion of what I remember growing up. Mm-hmm. And so our life was very public. It was sort of kind of where people's eyes were on us quite a bit. And but my parents, they just kind of kept our attention on what mattered most. Mm-hmm. And that was on being obedient to the Lord and being obedient to them. And, you know, just staying centered in the Word of God. So all that stuff you heard my dad preaching about on the radio, about leading your family in the Word and stuff, like, he was for real. We really had devotions. My dad really led us in devotions together as a family and that sort of thing. And I know that part of what God has called me to do, it just has been kind of a natural outworking. I would have never asked for this ministry. It's not something that I planned. You couldn't have told me in a million years. I didn't even grow up in an environment where women sort of, not that it was considered wrong or anything for a woman to teach, but it just wasn't the environment that I was in. So for me, that was a foreign concept. I just had no frame of reference for that.
Right.
But I do know that sitting under such profound teaching for all of my life has very much informed and shaped the way that I like to do ministry and just sticking close to the truths of Scripture and being exegetical in the way that I explain a passage or the way that I try to write about a passage. That very much comes from the teaching that I have had and continue to have as a member of my dad's church.
39-year seminary term, right? Basically,
that is
in
exactly
so many ways.
Right,
was,
yes.
You know, I had the privilege of interviewing your brother earlier, and he said the exact same thing about your family. He said,
Who
Dad was at home is who he was on the platform.
It's just, he's just the real
Man,
deal.
What a blessing.
It is such a blessing. And
it is.
By no means was it perfect or, you know, it wasn't, there's lots that I'm sure my parents would say was, you know, left to be desired in their parenting or in choices they're made, just like any parents would say. But I do know they were intentional. And now that I have my own children, I realize really how much diligence and faithfulness it takes to just do the thing day after day.
Sure.
Just
make
a decision and just do it, even when it gets hard to do it with four little kids under your feet they had.
Yeah. I think oftentimes we run in parenting, we run to the big moments in life. And of course, those stick with us. But I think we underestimate how important just consistency is, doing it day after day
just
after
doing
day,
it.
How it shapes.
That's right.
So having said that, you go from being raised in this family to now you've got this international, global ministry where God's using your teaching, your writing to influence believers across the globe. How does that happen? How does that come to be?
I don't know.
How does the Lord do that in your life?
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure that out. We've kind of been on this journey with God where literally we have kind of just followed step by step where we have sensed the Lord leading us.
Right.
So there has never been a time where I sent out speaking brochures or tried to have, you know, this step-by-step plan for building a ministry. That was never my intention. My intention was to follow God and to know His Word and to be diligent about studying it myself. And I just was teaching this little Bible study at Southern Methodist University, the same, really almost like the same 10 girls for about 4 or 5 years that I was just having Bible study with. And from there, the bottom line is folks just started asking me if I would lead another Bible study here or there. Mm-hmm. And I would do that. And to make a long story short, in the last 20 years, those calls to just lead those Bible studies have never stopped coming.
Right.
And that's the only reason we are where we are, is because it had just become so clear to us that this was the path, and it was not my path. I was going another way. And I just kept seeing that what the Lord was kind of illumining for me to do was very clearly in front of me, and I had to choose. Was I going to just keep trying to go my own way, which is my natural little rebellious streak self that I've got going on, or was I just going to walk in the steps that He was making clear and plain? So when you ask us how we got here, we don't know.
Yeah.
And we're regularly going, Lord, are you sure? This is what you had in mind?
Right.
But, you know, here we are, and we're just praying that my husband and I are really praying that we will not only honor God in this ministry, but most importantly, that our marriage really will bring Him glory, and that these three boys that the Lord has entrusted to us, that they will always be our first ministry, and our first goal will just be to focus in on them and then kind of let everything else be on the periphery and as just kind of a supplement to what He wants to do in our own family.
I love that story because it resonates in my mind with so much of the pattern of Scripture, as you've got these characters throughout, you know, the scriptural record who have their trajectory, and God says, no, this is the plan I have for you. And it's almost inescapable in a sense.
Yep.
You've got to walk down this road. But when you do, there's such great blessing from the Lord as you do it.
I'm so grateful for that. When you have that sense of contentment and ease, like when you're not on this, Jerry and I were just talking the other day about how grateful we are that He seems to have given us really a supernatural level of contentment. Mm-hmm. In other words, I have no intention or desire to sell more books or to speak on bigger platforms or, you know, that is not of interest to me. We say no to so many things that other people look at us and go, are you really saying no to that?
Right.
Yeah, well, my boy's got a basketball game. That's what I'm going to be doing on Tuesday night, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I'm grateful that neither one of us feel like we have to run on this hamster wheel to get somewhere. We're not trying to achieve anything.
Yeah.
We really just want to bring glory to God, and I'm grateful that He and I are both on the same page with that, Jerry and I,
amen.
And that the Lord has allowed us to be in partnership together and kind of have that same frame of reference.
Let's talk a little bit about, as you put together these Bible studies that the Lord has allowed you to kind of grasp Scripture and then be able to communicate in a way that so powerfully connects with people.
Amen.
Are you very intentional and sort of logically planning out, or are you just walking with the Lord, and are these kind of birthed out of what God's doing in your own heart? How does that typically work for you?
In terms of the topics,
right?
Of
developing
the Bible studies,
the topics, and then
literally every single message that I might teach from a platform or a Bible study or a book that might come out of some of that teaching, it literally has it. The beginning stages of that were just in my own personal quiet time.
Sure.
It's when I was just, it's like with Gideon. I remember that was, Gideon came out of a time when I was reading the Bible through in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to that section of Scripture, and there were several others like it, where the whole story just seemed to leap up off the page because it really applied to something that I was facing right then in my life. And I would see this story that I had heard a million times before, but I'd see it in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the Holy Spirit was taking out a divine highlighter and causing it to leap up off the page and really matter to me right then.
Right.
And it's those sorts of kind of, you know, when something reaches up and grips me in my soul, it's then when I apply it to my own life really carefully. And then out of that, I kind of just say, okay, Lord, is this something that you want me to share with others?
Right.
And if it is, then I can begin to see those points gel together in a way that would allow me to communicate it clearly to somebody else. And so literally every single one of those Bible studies really just were birthed out of my own, something that hit me in my own quiet time and that I could tell that the Lord might want to share with others as He began to incorporate it into my own life.
I think that's so encouraging because I've heard, you know, Bible college, seminary, I've got that background, and I've heard so many people say, you know, your quiet time and your preparation time, they need to be sort of separate. And it just seems to me like God's richest work through our ministry comes out of what He's doing in our own hearts.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's important that there is a distinction between your study time and your personal time with God.
Sure.
Time when you're not looking into the Scriptures because you're trying to mine it for points and clear communication, but you just want to gather what it is that the Lord wants to say to you. That is so critical. But yes, you're right. Out of that, there will be an outpouring that you want to share with other people. You want them to know what it is that God is doing in your own life and how they can benefit too from the passage that you've been reading.
We're so glad to continue this conversation. I want us to talk, though, about this movie that you got the privilege of being a part of, getting ready to come out. So
crazy,
we're
going to
take
right?
a quick break. It is. It's amazing. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to run back in just a second and hear a little bit more about this movie. We'll be right back.
What will happen when we have churches that really let the word of Christ dwell in them richly? What will happen when we have teenagers and children who really let the word of Christ dwell in them richly? We think marriages are going to be healthy. We think churches are going to be transformed, that communities are going to be impacted as Christians start to obey the text in their context, in their setting.
You think about the Bible. The Bible is the revelation of God. In fact, John says that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we are to know God, then we must know Him through the Bible. Explore the Bible will help us to do that.
So the heart behind Explore the Bible really is Colossians 3, 15 and 16. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Verse 16 is, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. So we want to say, hey, churches, church leaders, pastors, do you want a congregation? Do you want a small group? Do you want a Sunday school class filled with people that speak to one another in wisdom, that encourage each other, that admonish one another, that are filled with gratitude in their hearts to God, that they sing and they celebrate the salvation that God's given them? Do you want a group of people like that? Then you have to let the word of Christ dwell among them richly.
The exploration of the Bible, book by book, for groups of all ages, from senior adults, to young adults, to students, to kids of all ages. If everyone is studying the same passage, imagine the possibility of revival based upon the study together in community as a group, studying the text in its context. Imagine the possibility of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Whenever we're squeezed, whenever people in our groups or in our churches are squeezed, whatever's in them is going to come out. If the word of Christ is deeply in them, then that's what's going to come. They're going to speak to one another with wisdom. They're going to sing songs to God. They're going to be filled with gratitude. What's in you is going to come out of you. And so we want to do everything we can to help churches and help small groups and Sunday school classes get the word of Christ deeply, richly in the people.
So welcome back, and as you know, our guest today on The Exchange is Priscilla Shire, well-known author, Bible teacher, women's conference speaker, and powerful communicator of the gospel. Before we hear more from her, let's take a moment to hear from our Lifeway's president and CEO, Thom Rainier. That's what people who don't know him call him. We call him Dr. Thom Rainier about church membership.
Before I became a dean of a seminary and then before I became president of Lifeway, I served as a pastor of four churches. I served as a pastor in Indiana and Kentucky and Florida and Alabama. Loved the churches, had some great experiences there, had some tough experiences like any pastor does, but just great experiences. And you know, I couldn't understand why some of the church members, not all of them, but some of the church members would always be talking about what I want. Not the pastor, but quote, this is what I want. I want this kind of music. I want this style of worship. I don't like this carpet color. I don't like the size of our worship center or sanctuary. And I would listen to that and I would say to myself, of course, goodness, why are they so concerned about themselves? They're here to serve others. And you know, it's easy to have that kind of perspective when you're listening to others. And then after four churches, you know what happened? I became a church member. Well, I was already a member as a pastor, but I became a church member without being the pastor. And I would go to the church, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. And I began to think, I sure would like it if they did this. I sure would like it if the preacher preached this way. And then God convicted me. Thom, what are you doing? You know that the church is not about you. It's about the body as a whole. It's not about your preferences. In fact, the church is healthiest when it's not about me. And I believe in any relationship, whether there's marriage or friendship, but yes, in the context of the body of Christ, the church is healthiest when we say, how can I be last and serve others? Jesus said that's a pretty good place to be. Jesus said those who are last will be first, those who are first will be last. That was not just some type of enigma that we had to figure out. It was truth in God's Word that those who seek to be last, in other words, put all their preferences behind, let it be about others, not about me, those who do that find the greatest joy in serving.
We're back with Priscilla Shire. So glad to be here talking through what the Lord has done in your life. But now I want us to think about this new movie, War Room, that you're a part of,
Yes. Getting
ready to come out. How in the world do you go from Bible study teacher to now in
movie actress,
right? That's incredible. What an amazing opportunity the Lord's
so
opened
fun.
Up and exciting. How did that come to be for you?
The Kendrick brothers called us.
Sure.
Now listen, anytime Stephen and Alex call us, me and Jerry go, uh-oh, what's getting ready to happen?
Right.
And they literally called us and told me to put the phone on speakerphone one day, and both of them were on the line, me and Jerry were on the line, out of the blue. You know, they didn't set up a conference call. They just called us.
Right.
And they said, hey, we need you to do us a favor. That's how they started the phone call.
That's
and
a big
so
favor.
When they told me, they told me they wanted to be in the movie, I said, y'all have got to be kidding me. You cannot be for real. You know I'm not an actress, right? There are people that do this. And they said, okay, don't say no so quick. Just think about it for a little while. And then they began to just tell us what the film was about and that it really was, it's still right in line with the focus of our ministry. I would not have done it had it been just a movie.
Sure.
Even
sure.
if it was a great movie or a family-friendly movie, but if it didn't have the focus in ministry that it had, I don't know that I would have wanted to do it. But just because their ministry is so singular in prioritizing Jesus and pointing people to Jesus and bringing families together and singling out some of the most important portions of what it looks like to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't back down from that.
Yeah.
You know, they aren't trying to play it safe and sugarcoat the message. It's just clear
Very
as day
clear.
On the movie screen.
That's right.
And when they told me what my character in this film would be doing and what kind of woman she was and the trajectory of her growth throughout the film, I thought, man, if that ain't women's ministry, then I don't know what is.
Right.
So it was a privilege to be able and a challenge, by the way. I have a brand new respect for people that are actors.
Sure.
Because it is no small thing.
Sure.
So it was a challenging couple months. We had to move to Charlotte for a little while, and my family and I. And I just got to kind of be the novice. It was fun to be in a position where everybody else knows what they're doing. You're the one that doesn't know, and you have to learn and grow and figure it out. So it was a challenging summer, but it was a great summer, and I am so thrilled to be a part of this project that I really hope and think is going to be a blessing to lots of people.
Well, and I think we've learned from the Kendrick brothers' track record. I mean, they're trustworthy. They provide trustworthy.
Oh, yeah.
Solid, well-done content. Tell us a little bit about the movie. What's the trajectory of the movie? What's the point of the movie? What are they trying to accomplish? What are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah, well, it's called War Room, and it is all about this woman named Elizabeth Jordan. I play her character, and she and her husband basically have this perfectly polished life. They just look so well put together. They live in this great house, have a beautiful daughter, have very successful careers, both of them in their own right. And yet, as the movie progresses, you see that there are little cracks in the foundation of this little perfect life. I mean, their marriage really is hanging on by a thread. The husband really is about to maybe even enter into an adulterous relationship. I mean, there is just contention everywhere you look. And then you see this sweet little girl that really is suffering the effects of her parents really not having it all together. And Elizabeth is a real estate agent. She happens to list the home of an older, wiser woman in the faith named Miss Clara. And Elizabeth doesn't know this at the time, but Miss Clara is going to be very instrumental in sort of seeing through all this polished veneer that Elizabeth's got going on. And she's going to begin to show her about the power of prayer.
Wow.
Miss Clara's got this war room. It's this little closet that she prays in. And she is fervent in her prayers. And she's specific and strategic. And she basically says to Elizabeth, listen, you are fighting the wrong enemy. Your husband is not the enemy. You do have a real enemy, though.
Right.
So if you are just fighting against your husband, not only are you using the wrong weapons, but you're not even targeting the right enemy. So what you got to do is get your eyes on the right enemy and use weapons that can actually work against him. So this older, wiser woman teaches this young wife how to fight for her family in prayer.
That's encouraging to me for a number of reasons. One, because I think the marriage, the family that you've described is very similar to a number of families that we would see across the church today.
Oh,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Sort of the plastic Christian persona. You walk in, you got to look right and sound right, and yet there's so many cracks. And then the other thing I think that's so powerful here, I think the kingdom of heaven, on the front row of the kingdom of heaven, is going to be all these prayer warriors that nobody knows their name.
Silently
nobody
interceding.
That's right. And so to be able to elevate that ministry and say, this matters in the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
So why choose this at this time, this topic at this time? What was the Kendrick brothers' point and even your as you contributed to it, what was the point of this topic at this specific time?
Well, if there has ever been a time where prayer needs to be highlighted and emphasized in our culture, it is right now. Yeah. I mean, when you look on every major news media outlet, it is bad news, and the bad news keeps getting worse.
Right.
Now, our God is still seated on the throne. He is still all powerful. He still wants to be a very real part of our tangible everyday living.
Right.
And prayer is the mechanism He has divinely authorized and given His people to basically call down the power of heaven into our experiences of earth.
Right.
And if I were the enemy, I would want to do everything I could to devalue in the minds of the body of Christ, to devalue the significance of the most powerful weapon that they
right.
have. I would do anything I could to camouflage
right.
myself and to keep them from knowing the value of what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what He has done with prayer. He's yeah. caused us to seek programs and more people and
that's
exciting
right.
streams of ministry. And all the while, the weapon that could take Him out and really call down God's fire and power,
mm-hmm.
which is so needed right now with all we see happening,
right.
not only in
sure.
our culture, but in the world as we're seeing Christians persecuted in a way that
right.
is just unprecedented on so many levels in more modern times. So
right.
It's calling the church. It is a message that the Kendrick brothers wrote specifically to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, other people are going to see it as well, and they're going
sure.
to be inspired in their faith as well. We pray so. But it really is a message for God's people to get busy being the people of God and to not forget the power and the potency of prayer.
You know, I heard someone say, a friend of mine said recently, he said, one of the reasons we struggle with prayer is because it's about the only thing we do in the church that doesn't feed the flesh in any way.
Yeah. Right?
Worship can feed the flesh. Preaching can feed the flesh. It's enjoyable. Prayer doesn't feed the flesh in any way. It's difficult.
Yeah.
It requires discipline.
Yes.
And
yeah,
like you said, I was preaching actually recently, like Luke chapter 10, this great, Jesus' great commission to go out and take the gospel to all nations. And how does He say to begin? He says, the fields are white unto harvest, but pray that the Lord would send workers. And that occurred to me. We're people of action. So when we hear that there's a problem, let's go fix it.
That's right.
And yet He says the fix begins with on our knees in prayer. And I think we try and short circuit that process.
Yeah.
Or
either that. Well, not only do we short circuit it, but we're not strategic about it.
No,
we just kind of throw a prayer up and hope it sticks, you know, and we're just kind of haphazard about it. But we've got strategies for everything else. We've got strategy for our physical health, for our financial well-being, our retirement, our kids' education, all that stuff.
That's
we're
right.
strategizing about all that, but we're not being intentional and strategic about seeing where are the fissures in my marriage? Where are the specific ways I see the enemy coming after us? Well, then let me be that strategic about praying
right.
And applying the promises of God to my situation and my circumstance. With my child, where are they suffering emotionally or physically? Well, I'm going to pray specifically to that end where I am watching the enemy try to dig little holes in my life and in the well-being of those that I love.
What a privilege to have you with us, Priscilla.
I'm so glad.
Oh, thank you. And I'm looking forward to War Room. I hope that everybody who's watching takes an opportunity to go see it, show it at your churches.
I hope it'll be a blessing. I really do.
Absolutely. We're so glad to have you with us, though. Thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you next week on The Exchange.
So for resources mentioned on the show today, visit edstetzer.com, edstetzer.com, and always check out for past episodes there as well. Thanks for joining us and having a great week.
Thanks for joining Ed Stetzer and his team for this week's radio edition of The Exchange. Hear this and other past broadcasts of The Exchange. Read up on the latest trends from Lifeway Research and insights and articles from Ed and his team by visiting edstetzer.com. The Exchange Radio has been presented by Lifeway Christian Resources in cooperation with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.